The 112th Psalm begins with the Hebrew word, Hallelujah. It is a word that literally means praise the Lord. Hallel, you and Yah being a contraction of Yahweh. So praise the Lord, or praise ye the Lord. Having opened up with this exuberation of praise, the psalmist then declares, Blessed is the man. The psalmist speaks much about the blessed man. The word blessed has as its root word happiness, so that you might well say, Oh, how happy is the man. Who what? Who fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. The word fears is a word which means has a proper respect for or stands in reverential awe of. How happy is that man who has come to a proper respect of God, who stands in awe of God, who has given to God the right place in his life. Oh, how happy is that man who lives in a right relation with his Creator and who greatly delights in his commandments. Now the psalmist goes on to tell us several things about such a person. But of the things that he speaks to us, verse 7 attracts my attention. For there the psalmist declaring concerning this blessed man who has the proper respect and reverence for God and who delights greatly in God's commandments, the psalmist says of him, he will not fear evil tidings or not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. We are living in a day in which we are subject to receive evil tidings at most any time. All you have to do is open your newspaper in the morning, and it's filled with evil tidings as it tells you about the world in which we live. Our houses, our homes are in danger. Every time a dry east wind blows, some maniac goes out and starts a fire. And over 300 people in this last wind and devastating fires had the evil tidings that their homes and all of their possessions were burned to the ground. But even though we might escape fire, there is always the danger of our home being burglarized. Burglaries are increasing at such an alarming rate that none of our houses are immune from being burglarized. And there is always that danger of our receiving the evil tidings. We've been robbed. Someone has broken in. They've taken the television and the typewriter and the silver. And our valuables have been robbed from us. The evil tidings, which can come to any of us at any time. But if we can escape the fire and the burglaries, then the scientists tell us that because of all of the fault zones around here, one of these days soon, a catastrophic earthquake is going to do some real damage to your home. that we're living in these fault zone areas, that there is the constant threat of the destruction of our homes by some earthquake. And there are people who live in continual fear of the evil tidings that may come to them concerning the loss of their home. But really, our families aren't safe today. Very sick men have been released by our courts who drive up and down neighborhoods looking for women to assault or children to molest or expose themselves to. And there is always the danger of the evil report coming that one of the members of our family has confronted one of these sick individuals and has either been assaulted or embarrassed by their sick activities. We are warned by the police not to walk alone at night. That we are always under a constant threat of being assaulted. You women are warned concerning the dangers in the parking lots of the big shopping malls at this Christmas season. Especially going out to your car at night by yourself. It is dangerous. And there's always the possibility of the evil tidings that some member of our family has been assaulted. And then there is always the danger that we will hear evil tidings, that those symptoms that we've been concerned about, we know something isn't quite right, and so we've gone to the doctor. He put us in the hospital. He gave us a series of exams. And we don't like the look on his face as he walks in the room. But even worse are the things that he is saying. We're sorry. The examination shows that the tumor is malignant. You have cancer. We're sorry, the blood tests show that you have leukemia. Are the evil tidings that can come to us because of the physical condition of either ourselves or someone who is extremely dear to us? Oh, our homes aren't safe. Our families aren't really safe. But neither is our money safe in this world. There are a million people out there that are scheming some fraudulent scheme by which they might rip you off and take your money. But if you are really wise and prudent and careful and sacrificing, you may be able to keep your money from being ripped off by some scam that are so prevalent. But if you're able to keep your money from going that way, the government will move in and take it. And what they leave will be eroded by the inflation. So there's really no safe place. The bank may fail. Your house may burn. And there's always the danger of the evil tidings that you've lost it all. Nothing remains. And there are some people who live in constant fear of the knock on the door, the messenger who tells you the sad news, you've been wiped out. They fear the ring of the phone The bad news, you've lost everything. The world in which we live is not really safe. Russia has moved into Afghanistan and has massed troops at the Poland border. The Syrian troops are massed at the Jordanian border. The superpowers with super weapons are threatening to annihilate each other. And we're caught in the middle. The world is not a safe place, and any morning you may pick up your paper and read that Russia has invaded the Middle East, or Russia has invaded Poland, or Russia has invaded Western Europe. Evil tidings, yes, the world is filled with them. In fact, ultimately, evil tidings will come to all of us. The only way you can escape evil tidings is to die very young. That's true. But your death will be evil tidings to the family that you leave behind. Sooner or later, it's going to strike. Each of you will face some tragedy in your life. Some great sorrow, some great loss, some great pain. It comes to everybody. You can't escape it. It's a part of life. And there are some people whose whole life is filled with fear for that day when evil tidings come to them. Their life is shattered. And they go into hysterics. They rant, they rave. And then they'll go out and get drunk or commit suicide. They can't face it. Whereas there are others who seem to take evil tidings in stride. They just quietly go around and pick up the pieces that are left. Start putting them together, and they go on as though the evil tidings had not come. They are able to handle tragedy so very well, and we marvel at these people. As a minister, it has been my duty on many occasions of bearing evil tidings. And it is always a difficult task. The doctor will say, Chuck, go out and pray with the family and insert in your prayer, thy will be done. Because there's nothing we can do for this little girl. She's gone. So go out and prepare the family for it. And so you have to go out and you talk to the family about God's will and God's overruling providence and you pray and, Lord, yes, we would love to see you heal, but, Lord, your will be done above all else. And you're preparing the family for the doctor to come in and to let them know that their little girl's not going to go home from the hospital with them. Their little girl has already gone home to be with the Lord. Or sometimes the police department will call and we'll have to go over and tell a family sad, bitter tidings, evil tidings. And it's not easy. You knock on the door, and usually the kids are the first to answer the door. They run and beat everybody else there. And they open the door and their mouths go open. And they don't even say hi. They turn around and begin to scream, Mommy, Mommy, Chuck is here. Chuck is here. Mommy, Chuck is here. And you hear her in the kitchen say, Who? Are you sure? And as she walks out drying her hands on a dish towel, you see the question mark on her face. And the kids are all excited as they sit around the living room. And you have to tell them, your husband won't be coming home from work today. He had an unfortunate accident. It was fatal. He's gone to be with the Lord. It's awfully hard to bear evil tidings, but you can't escape it. Sooner or later, you're going to face it. Evil tidings come to us all. And there are some who are smashed, while there are others who have such great strength, courage, and they do not fear evil tidings. Why? The psalmist said, because his heart is fixed. You see, one of the problems that we have today is with instability. There are people whose hearts are really not fixed in the Lord. Yes, they love the Lord partially, but they still have a strong love for the world. Yes, they've committed their life partially, but they still have a strong commitment to their own things. And because of the lack of a fixed commitment, a fixed heart, evil tidings come as disasters and calamities. You remember in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, the old patriarch Jacob had summoned his 12 sons because he knew that he was dying. Talk about true grit. That's Jacob. This fellow is just about ready to die. In a few moments, he'll be lying still on the bed. But as his 12 sons circle around the bed with real grit, this old man pulls himself up to a sitting position, puts his feet over the edge of the cot, and he looks around the room at these 12 boys that are standing there, and he begins to address a prophecy unto each of them. First, fastening his eyes upon the oldest, Reuben. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. You're the beginning of my strength. But you will not excel, because you're as unstable as water. You see, Reuben had qualities and capacities that should have put him at the top. He was the firstborn. He was the beginning of strength. The natural capacities that should have put him at the top. But you'll never make it, Reuben. You'll never make the top. You're never going to excel. The reason being, you are unstable. You're as unstable. You haven't fixed your heart on anything. The man who hasn't fixed his heart is a man who will never excel. To excel in anything, you've got to put your heart to it. You've got to have that fixed heart and commitment. The man of commitment will always excel, even those that are committed to an evil cause. There's tremendous strength and power in that fixed heart, that commitment. Oh, but how wonderful and how blessed when the man has fixed his heart as the man that the psalmist tells us about, the man who has fixed his heart in trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He will not fear the day of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. He's trusting in the Lord. And he knows that no matter what happens, God loves me. God will help me. God will strengthen me. God will be with me. God will see me through. I'm trusting in God, and I know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I know God is going to see me through this experience also. That man who has put his trust completely and fully in God is a man who needs not to fear any tragedy that might befall his life, any evil tidings that he might hear. Because he has fixed his heart and his trust in God, he knows that if God be for me, who can be against me? God being for me, the powers and all that are at my disposal that are designed for my good far outweigh any evil that might be aligned against me. And thus I'm able to face the calamities, the tragedies, the pain, the sorrows of life with real victory. I don't go under. I don't despair. Nor do I fear the day of evil tidings. How blessed it is to have that kind of trust in God. And for us who have to bear evil tidings, how helpful it is to bear the tidings to those people whose trust is in the Lord. You may tell them the tragic story. You see the shock that comes over their face. You see the tear that comes down their cheek. But then you see the strength of God's Spirit as he begins to minister to them. And you see the smile and you hear them say, "Well, the Lord has a plan, and he's working it out in our life. And whatever, our lives belong to him." And you know that they're going to make it. You know that they've got what it takes to come through because their trust is in the Lord. Several years ago, we were living in Huntington Beach. We were remodeling our home, adding a bedroom and a den. And my father, who had retired from the real estate business, was down working with me on the house. And we had a great time working together as we were ripping off a portion of the roof of our house in order that we might join the new roof from the addition onto it. And then my dad left to go out and be with my brother in Victorville, who had just started up a boat shop and a motorcycle shop. He went out to help him set up the books, and he was having a great time. He began to take some of the dirt bikes out into the desert and began riding dirt bikes and told us of the excitement of just going across the desert in the dirt bike. My mother was going to drive out and be with him over the weekend. But my dad was worried about my mother driving out there alone, and so he decided to have my brother fly him down in my brother's plane so that he could ride out with my mother to Victorville and thus spend the weekend out there with my two brothers who were there at the time. I had never seen my brother's plane, and I thought it would be fun to go over to the airport and meet them. So we bundled up the kids because it was a stormy night. And we went over to Orange County Airport, and we waited for my brother's plane to arrive, and my brother and dad. And an hour or so after it should have arrived, when they hadn't come yet, we thought, we better go home. It may be that they're trying to phone us. It could be that they've had to put down someplace else because of this storm. They weren't able to make it, and they're probably trying to phone us, and so we better go home and wait for the phone to ring. And sure enough, my brother, because of the storm, had decided to fly above it, and he thought he was on the radio beam from El Toro, but instead he was on the San Diego radio beam. When they came under the cloud cover, they were in San Diego, and so he landed there, and they called up and told us of the mistake, and laughing about it, and they said, we're going to get some fuel, and we'll meet you at the Orange County Airport in a half hour. And so we bundled up the kids again, and we headed back over to Orange County Airport, and we began to wait again. Half hour, hour, 2 hours. We thought, well, maybe they've had to put down again, and maybe we better go home and wait for them to call and find out where they are now. So my mother went to her home in Santa Ana, and we went to our home in Huntington Beach, waited for the phone to ring. Finally decided we better go to bed, but I didn't sleep. We had put some tar paper over a window that we had to take out in adding our den, and the wind was blowing that tar paper all night long, flapping against the window, making quite a noise, howling through the crack. And in my mind, I could picture the rough ocean. I wondered if maybe they had landed in the ocean. Maybe they were struggling out there in the waves, strong currents. Maybe they've put down on an isolated little airstrip where there's no phone. I had called the CAP, gave them the number of the plane and all, but there were no calls until 6 o'clock in the morning, when the CAP man identified himself and he said, we've located the plane. It's in the San Onofre area of Camp Pendleton. There are no survivors. And so we had to go over and bear the evil tidings to my mother. So my wife and I got the kids bundled up again, and we drove over to Santa Ana, and as we came in the door, my mother looked at us and said, you don't need to tell me. I already know. She said, at 4 o'clock this morning, as I was in prayer, the Lord spoke to me and said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. She said, I know Daddy and Billy have gone to be with Jesus. Days of evil tidings. The loss of her last son, who was still at home, and her husband, going to spend the rest of her life living alone. Lonely nights, lonely days. And yet, such courage, such strength, because her trust was in the Lord. News that could be disastrous and shattering to some is accepted and taken in stride by others. And the big difference is when a person has fixed his heart to trust the Lord. God, I am yours. I belong to you. My life is in your hands. No matter what comes, God, I know that you will strengthen me and you will see me through. Oh, what a difference it makes when you fix your heart, when you make that complete commitment to trust in God. I feel sorry for people who are living in this chaotic world today who haven't made that commitment. I don't know what they're going to do, because we are living in days of evil tidings, and sooner or later you're going to hear tidings that you don't want to hear. And if your heart isn't fixed in God, it can destroy you. But if your heart is fixed and you're trusting in Him, He too will give you that inner strength and resolve. You'll make it. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? Shall we pray? Father, we're so thankful that we can commit ourselves, our lives today to you. And that we need not fear evil tidings, because we know, Lord, that our life is bounded on all sides by you. You're the beginning and the ending of our faith. In you we live, we move, we have our being. We're surrounded, we're encircled. We can't escape. We don't want to escape. Oh God, we commit our lives into your keeping, into your love, and into your care. Thank you, Father, for being there. Thank you, Father, for being available to us. Help us now, Lord, to fix our hearts in Thee, in Jesus' name. Amen.